and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
I've got to be honest, like when we were looking at this and when we crafted the series for this time and this week, like I am super quick to judge, especially if I've read the stories over and over and, you know, went to school and I even look at the headings on my Bible to know who I'm supposed to judge in the scriptures, right? And so so for this one, and if you have a Bible or an app or something like that, depending on your translation, you have different headings. And so the one from the New Living Translation, I think, which I deleted for Aaron to read because it colors our perception so much, is just Jesus and the rich man, right? And so you now have your antagonist being the rich man, and of course, Jesus has to be the hero, right? So like you have this setup that's happening. But if we kind of read this a little bit, if we take the titles out, because that wasn't there originally, right? Like they didn't write on scroll anyway. So here's the thing. I tried to practice what I preach this week with this scripture, and now everybody go, there we go. Okay, good. So I tried to practice what I preach in that I'm trying to assume grace for this man who comes up to Jesus. Because if we assume grace first, I think that turns our understanding, because oftentimes it's Jesus goes after these people who should know better or who are rich or who are whatever. But if we just step back a minute and assume grace, I think that there's something that we can be learned that's greater than the scope of what we would think originally based on this very narrow understanding of this guy is completely identified and defined by his possessions, okay? And so if we just kind of say that there was a guy who came up to Jesus, and yeah, he had it all together, but then there was something that still wasn't right. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who looks like they have it all together, but they go, but there's just something that is missing? Maybe you're one of those people that's like, I've got it all lined up, but still there is this tug in my heart, and there is something that's not right. You ever had those conversations? Have you ever had those feelings before? Like everything logically on my Excel spreadsheet, in my bank balance, it all looks great, but still there's something missing. And I think what we learn from this guy is that maybe those gut feelings aren't so bad and that sometimes we should just go after them. And so in this series that we've been talking about, Real Good News, we see these encounters that people have with Jesus that start to transition and transform their understanding of the way that the world works in powerful ways. And so for this man in Jewish culture, if he had a lot of stuff, it would have been a sign of God's blessing on his life, right? Like if you are faithful, you will be prosperous. And so Jesus has this twist that happens, except the only downside for him in particular is that we will see, he leaves before he hears this good news. And so, but we get kind of let in on the story. And so we're gonna kind of walk through this part in Mark chapter 10. So if you have a Bible, if you have an app, just kind of open it up, and we're gonna see like a four-part little thing. And because it's a sermon, there's a lot of I's in our headings today. So the first I that we have is that there is an interruption. Okay, so Jesus is walking down, starts his way towards Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden this guy came out and knelt before him and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? Now, again, we'll find out that later on he's doing all the right things, but he just comes and Jesus is probably doing his thing. And what is your normal reaction that if you are going with a purpose somewhere, and the Gospel of Mark is really good, if you read like the first two chapters, a ton of stuff happened. It's like this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. So like Jesus has got a plan, especially when we read Mark. And so when you've got a day planner full of stuff, when your Google Calendar is telling you that you're already late when you wake up in the morning for three things, right? You're going. And then somebody comes and prostrates themselves as they always do in front of you. Like, what do you do with those interruptions? What's your first reaction? What? Step, I was like, good day. All right, and keep on going. I like that. Yeah, nice. Just give a tip of the cap, and there you go. Yeah, what else? Anybody like, well, thank goodness. I am so excited that things are going to pile up because I didn't have anything else to do, right? And so there is this interruption, but I think that is like the articulation of the way that we live this kind of faith life. If we think about less just physical things that come into our lives on a day-to-day basis, but like situations that we find ourselves in, like, man, I am just trying to live this life, exploring, checking Jesus out, you know, wherever you are, or I've been following Jesus for a long time. As Erin said when she welcomed you, whether you are the first time here exploring Jesus or you are not new at doing this, I like that because she didn't call any of us old, right? She just said, if you are not new doing this, like, The articulation is that, you know, we are so quick to say, I would be doing this thing if all of these interruptions didn't get in the way. I would be doing much better if my finances were better, I could more fully follow Jesus. If this was right, I could more fully, if I didn't have these things lining up in front of me, I could make that straight line to where God has called me to be, right? Anybody guilty of that? Because I'm guilty of that like every single day. I have a plan and then the dog has another plan. Right? I have got a plan and then your kid gets strep throat. You have a plan and then all of a sudden the car breaks down. And like, we are quick to have these interruptions then get us off track and off kilter. And so I think that as followers of Jesus, you know, those exploring who God is, maybe we can turn these interruptions though into an opportunity if we can just stop for long enough to say that there may be more than one path that we can then be those faithful people. Maybe my way was not the best way and that God's got a different kind of clue as to what's going on. So our scripture continues and it gives this man then, it says that Jesus turns this interruption into this way of calling this guy out on his identity. This is the only time in scripture that we see, especially in Mark, where it says Jesus looked at the man and felt genuine love for him. And this is the passage that messed me up this week, so I couldn't just make this rich guy out to be the villain of the whole story, because it says, you know, it doesn't say that Jesus looked at him with contempt. He didn't say that Jesus looked at him knowing his mind, that he just wanted a shortcut into heaven. It says that Jesus looked at him with genuine love. Whew. When was the last time you looked at somebody with genuine love? Probably less often than you would like, right? Especially those that are interrupting your life. And so this is no small point, but we just read right over it, right? Who knew that this little bit was in this scripture? None of you, right? I've read like four commentaries and still it took me reading like another and another to realize that there's this little spot in here that goes, Jesus saw who he was, his very core in being. And Jesus didn't find him wanting. Jesus didn't find that he was having ulterior motives. Jesus saw this guy and he had compassion on him. He saw the potential. He could see through all the stuff and the ways and the stuff that kind of mounted up, and he tried to, you know, all those masks that we tried to wear or the ways that we try to cover stuff up. He saw through all of that and he says, man, yeah, sure, you've been, you know, and the guy self-reports that he's done all the law of the land. Jesus goes, okay, doesn't call him out, doesn't question him on it, doesn't do anything else. He goes, okay, well, if that's all you've done, then there's one more thing that you have to do. But man, Jesus cuts to the heart of the matter of who this guy is and then gives him an invitation, right? So we see that this interruption happens, Jesus names who he is and his identity and then offers this invitation. And he doesn't say that you're cut off. He doesn't say anything. He goes, all right, if this is what you're really asking, I wonder if this guy was like, well, how many like spiritual push-ups do I have to do to get into heaven, as my sixth grade Bible teacher used to say, right? Or what do I have to do to buy my way in? How many indulgences do I need to pay? How do I do all this stuff? And Jesus says, no. So sell all that you have. That's it. Sell all that you have and give to those who are in need, and then you can be my disciple. So like this is his like the Matrix and Morpheus asking Neo if he wants to take the red pill or the blue pill, essentially going, we have this way, and don't just sell it all, but sell it and then come and follow. Or you can choose this way and life is just like nothing ever happened before. Isn't that kind of awesome? Right? And that's the invitation for each and every one of us. And so the problem isn't, though, that he is rich, okay? The problem's not that he is rich. It's that with his wealth came distraction. And Jesus offers a different kind of investment plan, all right? The problem's not that he's rich, but Jesus comes to offer a different kind of investment plan. In the way that, so some of those things, and I'm gonna ask you if you're comfortable sharing those things that distract you, okay? And like the thing that happens is that we want kingdom life, that we want to be with God, but at the same time, there are other things out there too that are kind of neat and cool. I've been reminded this week of how easily I'm distracted because my old phone died and I got a new phone, okay? And it's not fancy. It was some Amazon doodah, but it actually works, okay? And so when I have a phone that can actually bring up the apps that I need to use though, how easily am I distracted now? That like, instead of having to remember something, I can actually open up the camera and take a picture. Mind-boggling, okay? But at the same time, now how much more often am I using it and being distracted by this so that this becomes the focus and not a tool for me to do my job, right? And so the distraction becomes the object instead of the thing that matters most. And I would say that this is what was happening for this guy. So what are some of those things that you would say that either you or friends have that distract them and pull them away? Our baptism liturgy sometimes we use says that, what is that glamour of evil? Isn't that a good phrase? The glamour of evil, those shiny things that catch our attention, especially if you're like me and have that kind of attention span issue or spiritual attention span issue that it's like, oh, that looks kind of neat. Let's go explore this. What are some of those distractions? What do you think? Carol. Cute babies. Yes. Double-edged sword. Cute babies. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right? Like when I'm at camp, I tell people that my phone doesn't work. It kind of does, but it usually doesn't. But I just leave it, you know, wherever my hammock's set up because I don't want to deal with that. Yeah, and how much more present you can be when you don't have that distraction. Yeah, beautiful. Any other thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, when there are values that go counter or cut across the grain of where you're going, so that becomes a distraction for you doing life, right? And so all of these distractions start to add up. And what happens then is that we realize that there's another level that's happening for this guy, is that the interruption of this man's life, remember, he came to Jesus on his own terms. He distracted Jesus in his own way, and he asked a question that he thought he would get his own affirmation from. Everything's on his terms, right? And what Jesus is saying is, I get that you're stressed. I get that there is something that's just off kilter a little bit about what you're going through, but if you do this, come and follow, and it's gonna be easier. Because you're not going to have all that other stuff to worry about, right? And the stuff can take all kinds of different forms. And so this interruption then to this guy's life makes him stop, and it's too much for him to handle. And so when he meets Jesus, you know, in all of these ways, he stops and then he turns away before he can even hear about what Jesus. So he's gone from the picture then when we get the good news. And what we hear from our Celebrate Recovery groups, that's a phrase that they use oftentimes, is don't quit before the miracle. This dude quit before the miracle, right? And so he's gone, and then Jesus turns everybody else who is left, and he says, man, he just couldn't part with it. He left before the miracle. But what happens is that there is this inclusion that happens that he says, you know, he goes through all this, and he says that he makes some reference to a camel and a needle, and then pastors throughout the ages have said, well, maybe there was this little gate where if you burrowed just right with the camel and the stuff and the, okay, Maybe. I don't know, because I wasn't there in the first century, okay? I know I'm old, but I wasn't there in the first century. But here's what I do know, is that the camel was something really, really big that gave instantly the people that were hearing an understanding of there is a big thing that's happening. And a needle was really, really small. And they know that that, based on their understanding of physics, isn't gonna happen, right? And so that's why this response, well, then who could get into heaven? Who could have eternal life? And Jesus says, you can't, but God can. And I think that that's the good news for us who are distracted, is that we can't, but God can. And that after this invitation, when we take God up on that, when we explore just a little bit, just have an ounce of what God is up to and doing in our lives, or that potential, it's, you can't, but God can. And God can make the doorway as wide as needed to let all the people come through. Isn't that kind of awesome? Like that there's this incorporation that happens, that no longer are you some kind of second-class citizen trying to earn your way into it, that there's nothing that you can do. But when we start to change our understanding into God's kind of investment plan, that then the gates are open, and we don't have to try to squeeze through or try to find some loophole or get some way to like have a friend let us in the back door or something. It's just like, no, if I have the faith that it takes, even just the size of a mustard seed sometimes, that we can come in and don't have to worry about camels going through eyes of needles, because it's all about what God is up to and doing. And so for us, our so what today is like, you know, for the real good news for the distracted is that you can't, but God can. And so we're all distracted at sometimes in some places, and sometimes that leads to what we call sin and breaking relationship with God, and sometimes it doesn't, and that kind of flies under the radar. You know, like in school, I wasn't a great student or a great kid, but I flew enough under the radar that the bad stuff that I did didn't get me sent to the principal's office, right? It didn't mean that I was good enough to, but it meant that I just wasn't getting caught, right? It didn't mean that I wasn't distracted. It just means that I did it in a way that got other people in trouble. But I think that this distraction too helps, or that it happens as individuals, and it happens at the church level, and it happens all around, is that we forget to invest in what matters most. And this week, I mentioned in the prayers that the Phoenix Foundation, a group that's trying to start a recovery high school in the area, had this screening of a movie called Generation Found. And what I was struck by is about the openness and honesty of the conversations that happened around and with people who were in recovery, that cuts through all the stuff, and that we realize that we don't have to pretend, and that we don't have to try to make up some story, but to be the best of who we are and to invest in the kingdom that God has in store for us. If we can find a place where we can be like if we could be real people living real lives, and then we encountered, what would it be? Encountered a real and life-changing faith in Christ, maybe some transformation could happen, right? Like, I've heard that somewhere before, but I don't know where. But sometimes we get off track and think, I get the slogan, I get the saying, but at the same time, I don't think that I can do that, because people are gonna find out about my stuff. And that's scary for me, when the reality is that the church needs to have that kind of investment plan, that we want to find out about your stuff, not so that we can go, ha, you messed up and I'm not that bad and look at you, but at the same time go, no. That we're on this journey together, and so we celebrate even the smallest of victories. And we mourn with the smallest of defeats and those things that break our heart open and that break the heart of God open, and say, now, we get the journey together to put the pieces back together. It's not a finger pointing of going, man, you really messed up, but it's a hand holding. It's a hug. It's an arm around the shoulder going, we all need this cross just as much as the other person. And so when we come and we hear that word, those words of Jesus, go and take all of those things that distract you and set them aside so that you can fully follow me. The good news for the distracted is that we can't do it, but that God can. That there is a whole community of faith, a whole community that should be striving for investing in the way that the kingdom has for us. And so this week, maybe what it looks like is that we invest our time in a relationship, that we send a note, that we remind people, that we remind other people that even though they feel like they are like that person who walked away before the miracle happened, that we remind them that there is still a place for them to encounter that miracle, that the worst thing is not the last thing, that we can be the people that God has called us to be without fear of somebody judging what we've done, but walking with us through those valley times. Maybe it's investing time. Maybe it's investing our talents and serving in some way to share with others that gift that God has for us. Maybe it's serving on a team or committee or something like that to build community together. And then other times it is giving our gifts, finding and funding the ways that we can be a community more fully so that we can then help transformation happen for other people. But do you see that all of those ways of time, talent, and gifts are ways that we divest from ourselves and we invest in the kingdom? And what I would assume is that if that guy would have gone, I'm going to sell it all. And that this week in our Monday Momentum in your little program, we learn about Claire of Assisi. So under St. Francis's thing, right? St. Francis is a big kind of dude of selling all your stuff. And then a guy by the name of Brother Juniper, which if you're going to have a name as a saint, Brother Juniper might be the most hippie name I've ever heard for any kind of saint, right? But they were both like, we're going to give it all away. And what they found was when we divest from ourselves and invest in the kingdom, some transformation happens. If this guy would have been able to see the transformation and the hope that his gifts could have given to those who had nothing, it's not that he would experience eternal life someday, it's that he would have experienced the kingdom right there and now. There is nothing that the kingdom has never been closer than when I serve on mission trips and I get to serve somebody or I get to give someone their one meal for the day or maybe their one meal for the next couple of days. And you go, wow, this was nothing to me, but it is the world to them. And isn't that the gift of the kingdom? So this week, as we think about the way that we are distracted, also think about the way that we might be able to invest in the way that the kingdom could come near. Not just for those that we serve, but for the way that that transforms our understanding of what it is to invest our time, talents, and gifts. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, today we come to you knowing, God, that you are God and we don't have to try to be, and that we can stop trying to be good enough because we know that through you we are enough because you are enough. So God, this week, keep us mindful of where you would have us go. Keep us mindful of the way that we might invest. So in all of our coming and going, all of our deeds, and all of our transactions, we can crown you with that glory that you so desperately deserve for the way that we can support and shine glory upon the gift of grace that you offer each and every one of us as you invite us into that eternal life of encountering the kingdom now and in the life to come. Amen. Let's stand and sing.